big wigs. The bigger the wig,
the bigger the personality.
Ooh, stunning.
Hey, Tom.
Miranda? Oh, I thought I saw Miranda.
Look at that, babe. It's big wigs.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Look at big ribs and big wigs.
Happy holidays, big wigs. We are back. It is Thanksgiving week. We weren't going to leave you hanging on Thanksgiving week. We are doing an episode. We're still working because we're big wigs.
We don't stop.
We don't stop. Don't stop till you get enough. We are remote, though. Dre, how's it going? Where are you in the world?
I'm in D.C. with the fam. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We are so thankful for you.
Aww. And I'm in Philadelphia with Jared and my dog.
And your mom. Yeah.
And my mom. She's at work. So that's why it's nice and quiet right now. I don't know. I wasn't going to come here till tomorrow night, but we're here early. Surprise.
The back home baller is back in Philly. No. What is it called? A back home baller? Because I'm a
back home baller.
Yeah.
I loved that. That was one of my favorite SNL like Thanksgiving sketches ever. That was so funny.
It's got to be. You know what's crazy? It's one of the new ones. It's not like an old school. You know how we love the old school ones, but it was kind of a new one. And I got to say, what a banger.
Like if we had to talk old school, I'd pick Sweaty Balls. You remember those?
Oh my God. Just wear a hair with NPR and Sweaty Balls.
Oh, so good.
An amazing one.
Although my husband, Alec Baldwin, he was so good on Sweaty Balls, remember?
Oh, wow. That was Alec.
Yeah.
Great.
Or maybe he did one of them. I think they did a couple of them, but he definitely was like one of the Sweaty Balls.
I think he actually broke character and started laughing.
Probably. They were so good at that.
They were so good. It was the best.
I miss Anna Gasteyer. She's a fucking icon. I mean, they both were, but like. It was her and Molly Shannon, right? Those were Sweaty Balls.
Heroes. Oh, hands down. Heroes. And just like so much love to Molly Shannon, who I believe follows Big Wigs or follows both of us.
Oh my God.
Honestly could be possibly one of the best follows for just anybody that's in the comedy, does voices. It's Molly Shannon. I mean, it's superstar.
Yeah. You know what vibes I get from her? Like, no matter how famous she's been or she is or she could get, she seems like a genuine person.
Oh my God.
Get to her. Like, never, she just seems like down to earth, like someone you would meet at camp and be like, we're best friends for life. Like, she doesn't seem like a diva at all. Just in anything you see her in, like interviews or press or whatever, you're just like, wow, she seems so nice.
I've never even seen any negative things about her.
Because she's nice. Because she's an angel. Angel on earth.
Because she's the best.
I haven't read her book yet. And that just reminded me. I always wanted to read her book.
I have to be so much better about reading these books. I've just recently bought, obviously, the Britney book, which we're both not through yet.
We're not through it.
And that's on
my friend the other day. I was like, you finished the Britney book, right? And I was like, no, don't tell me the end. Don't ruin it.
And it's honestly, there's no excuse. Some people have read it. They're like, I read it in one sitting. I'm like, you read it in one full swoop? Like what?
Those are the people I've never been friends with. You know what I mean? Like those are the people who we just don't see eye to eye. You know?
What's it like having an absolutely perfect attention span? Can't relate. Cannot relate. If I go pee, I'll immediately see like a cookie. I'll eat the cookie. I need a milk. I am the mouse who eats the cookie and then needs everything. That's what happens.
Yeah.
I cannot focus on it.
That's why we're friends, because we can't finish the Britney book. Wait, you'll love this. I told you I wanted to listen to or read the Barbara Streisand
900,000 manifesto. Yeah.
997 pages. Yes.
The manifesto.
I realized I pay for SiriusXM and not SiriusXM, Spotify. I pay for both Spotify and SiriusXM. There's a point to this. And on Spotify, it's there. It's broken up by chapter too, which I was like, oh, interesting. So I started listening to it
while
I was getting my lashes done. That's the only time I ever listen to podcasts or audiobook, anything.
Yeah.
So I started listening to it and I was like, this is great. And then I got served the TikToks of Howard Stern. I get all of the like Howard Stern show TikToks, and she went on Howard.
Of the clips. They're so good, right?
The clips are amazing. And then I was like, I really want to watch this interview or listen to the full interview. So I sort of abandoned the actual book to listen to the Howard Stern interview on SiriusXM because I pay for that. So I got that. But it's a two and a half hour interview. So I'm not even through the interview, let alone the 48 hour audiobook. I'm like, I feel like I'm like embodying Barbara in a lot of, I'm like, wow, she's like in me right now. And I'm just yeah. like, and some of it, she, you know, like he's You're talking about the Barbara. Book. Mm-hmm. So like she's repeating stuff from the book. I'm like, well, I already knew that. I already knew that about her camp experience and her stepfather. I already knew that because
You're so ahead of the game. You're getting Barbara on all platforms. You're like listening to the audiobook and listening to interviews. I mean, you're doing a Lady Gaga where she fully gets into character and she's like, I lived, breathed, died.
Yeah.
The Giovanni, father, son, House of Gucci. Like that.
Because you know what? Maybe one day I could play Barbara in a biopic, you know?
And that kind of would be the end all be all for it. That'd be amazing. Like if people say, what's your dream? I think you should put that at the top.
No, I think Joan is before Barbara, honestly.
Joan. Now, yes, yes.
You know?
I'll take either.
You know, sure. I'll take either.
Yeah. Sure.
But it is a fun interview. I have to get through one of them. You know what I have to get through the interview first. But isn't it funny that I was like,
yeah,
oh,
skip
the novel.
The book for the interview.
Listen to the Howard Stern interview. It's basically sometimes, the book.
Sometimes really though, an interview is if there it's a good interview and we all know Howard Stern with the interviewing skills, but it should be getting the best parts of the book out. And yeah. Did Howard say that he finished the whole book?
He listened to it. He got an audio, wow. Like he said he listened to it early, but he wasn't allowed to like say anything because he got like an early copy to interview her.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was interesting. He's so good. And I'm like, wow, my COVID brain can't remember like details of anything. Like I always am like, does he have notes in front of him? Because he'll whip out like, and you did this interview in 1967 with mm-hmm. this person and this person said this. And I'm like, he has notes, right? Like of things he wanted to talk about, because I'm like, I would never, I watch one episode of Friends. And if you were like, what episode was it? And I've seen it 40 times. I would be like, no idea.
No I couldn't tell you. They definitely do have the notes in front of them. Have to, just to refresh their memory. Like they should know the basis of the question, but in terms of remembering like the interview in the year, have to have the notes.
Yeah.
That's
like
a producer's
when we were
job.
Recapping Sonia and Luann's Crappy Lake.
Oh, yeah.
I took so many notes because
our
I'm
extensive
like
extensive notes. Yeah.
If I let myself go and I enjoy it, I'm like, I won't remember details. So mm-hmm. I have to write down like, oh, this happened. And then this happened. And then this happened.
Have to.
Like, is this age or is it? I think it's COVID. I think it's like surviving a pandemic. And like, that's just what happens to your brain after.
Well, no. And I saw this other study that a psychologist came out and said that it's called the pandemic skip, where whatever age you started the pandemic, that's the age you mentally are, because you didn't develop normally as yeah. you would have in a normal human progression. So call it the pandemic brain, call it the pandemic skip, whatever you want. Yeah. Just know that I'm a little slower and I still think that I'm 26. I mean, for all intents, I'm still 23. Okay. Let's say it
absolutely.
Like it is.
Absolutely. I'm 26.
You're
honestly.
26. 23. I'm 23. It's I don't totally. Want to be 23. You're right. We're both 26.
I also feel like I regressed even younger in the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like
well,
we
most
wore
of us
pajamas yeah. all fucking day.
Yes. I became an adult baby. That's all I did.
I honestly, like last week, I've had such a stressful time that last week I like looked at Jared and I was like, I miss lockdown.
That's when you know you're at a new low. You're like, wait a minute. I kind of miss it. Is that crazy?
I do miss
you
it. Everybody was on the same plane. I mean,
yes,
here's
you're right,
the thing.
You're right.
I don't miss human suffering. I don't miss anyone getting sick. I don't miss yeah. like people losing family members and dying. No, of course, I'm not a monster. But I do miss just that little glimpse of being locked in my apartment. I'm like, oops, mm-hmm. I can't go anywhere today. I should bake cookies and watch TV. Oh, my God.
You mean to tell me the only thing expected of me is to do this? And knowing that like every other celebrity was doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, Reese Witherspoon is probably making this mm-hmm. potatoes au gratin just like me.
It was a wild time, you it know was. if you look at the positive aspects of it, if you find
yeah,
the
yeah,
silver
yeah.
lining
mm-hmm. which we try to be like, often
yeah I don't want people to be like, ugh, Anna wants a pandemic again, you know. No, I'm not the devil, am I? I don't know,
not maybe. Really no, but now that you're home, I was asking you, is there something that makes you feel being home? And I'm not talking about your parents like wanting to do your laundry or your mom just treating you, you know, because you're a back home baller. But there was something that happened to me that I was just, oh my God, this means I'm home.
This means you're home.
Do you have one of those?
You know what I do? Nobody talks on the phone as much as my mom.
Oh, such a good one.
And I like every, you hear her coming up the stairs every fucking second of the day. My dad's been away. My dad's been in Denver. And I am like, is she unable to be and she's a very independent person. Yeah. In the car,
yeah.
From the car to the stairs, up into the apartment. And then she is on the phone 24/7. This woman, thank God you get like unlimited minutes or whatever. My mom's phone. Is your mom, are your parents on the phone? And I said to Jared, how often is she on the fucking phone? It's nonstop. That means you're home. Like even in my childhood home, this isn't my childhood home, obviously, like, but growing up, like always in the kitchen on the phone, call after call after call.
It's so true. Like,
that generation, they're obsessed.
They're obsessed. Texting, they never got on the bandwagon because they're like, why would I text when I could just call? I'm like, because the person might be doing something. And they're like, no. Doesn't matter. Like my mom will call her sisters and... And they're always doing something, like rattling around some pots. Like either they're making dinner, they're in the middle of like doing Pilates, their yoga. They'll stop everything except for the activity that they're doing. So I don't even know if they understand each other. They're like, what's that? And they're like talking to a million different people. It's so scatterbrained.
They also don't use headphones. Like,
oh, yeah.
So yeah, right. Like they're like this, right? Like putting the phone like underneath because she's also pulling out pots and pans. And I'm like,
core memory.
The stress that you're having. Yeah. So she was on the phone nonstop for the last 2 days. And I'm just like, wow, like the phone calls are insane. The
phone calls. You would think that they are making so many deals. Like they are closing deals left and right. Like when I get on a phone call, I'm like, okay, this is a really big deal. Like our generation, our phone call is like, okay, we're on a meeting. We're taking a call. We're talking to our agent. And my parents, I'm like, what do you guys talk about for 30 minutes? Like, what do you talk about? What is she, who is she? Who is your mom calling? Because my mom will call her sisters and neighbors. Yeah.
She just calls her friends. She has a lot of friends. She doesn't call family. She FaceTimes with my sister and my sister's little kids every night because, you know, she's a FaceTime grandmother.
Right.
But that's annoying as fuck. And my daddy agrees. That's so annoying. Like, she'll get on the FaceTime and be like, no. And we're all rolling our eyes like, oh, not again. This is going to be another 45 minutes of her fucking doing this voice and talking on the phone. And it's a lot. Live your dreams. I love that. But like, yeah, if you asked me to make a phone call to like order a pizza, I'd be like, are you fucking crazy? Like,
well, we have that fear.
Me out.
Yeah. We have the fear of being on the phone. And I don't know what it is because we do FaceTime sometimes. Like we'll have that FaceTime with our friend or like, let's have a FaceTime date. But the call is such a funny thing. I've been trying to get back into calling and it might be a big wig move for us to get back into the calls. I don't know.
We have calls sometimes because sometimes you have to talk about like a lot and it's annoying to just text it all out. Or if you're walking through the city.
Like it's so true. How often do you use the voice to command text? I never use that. And I notice people use it all the time.
I'll use voice notes. I like a voice note.
I'll do a voice note over a voice to text anytime. Because how are you collecting your thoughts that fast? Like if I was to voice to text, it would be like, so ..
Yeah.
I don't know how to formulate my thoughts that fast.
I'd be like, did you just have a stroke? What's happening? Just a lot of dots and shit. No, I like a voice note, especially when I'm driving. I've decided I like voice notes because
we love voice notes.
They're just like, you just press that one button and you let her rip and then that's it. I like that. I was going to say, you're going to laugh. We called each other the other day. I was in the city and you'll love this. Remember I told you I went to Crate and Barrel?
To get glasses because you're out and you need proper glasses.
Did I tell you what happened while we were on the phone while I was doing that?
No, you definitely were in like middle conversation. Yeah.
I got these like wine glasses and as soon as I was online waiting to pay and as soon as she was like, come to this register, I like took one step and one of the wine glasses fell over and the stem broke off and I reached in to grab it and cut my thumb.
No.
And I'm standing at the register like bleeding in front of I was like, oh, no, it broke and I'm bleeding. I'm sorry. This just happened when I like walked up to you.
And the woman's like, what's happening right now? This is too much.
She looks at me and goes, that's OK. Do you want to get another one? And I was like, didn't even offer a tissue. Nice. I was like, well, I hate Band-Aids. But I was like, you could at least be like, are you OK?
Yeah.
You're bleeding on the register.
No,
like
New York retail people, they have no time for that. Absolutely zero time.
She was like, did you want another one? And I was like, I guess I should get a different kind if this broke by me taking one step. So I went and got like the like more expensive version of it, like, you know, like two higher price
range.
Are
these wine glasses? Because you're talking about stems.
Yeah, it was a wine glass. And it just like sliced my thumb. And I'm like, wow, this is like a Larry David episode. What the fuck?
Literally. And he's explaining it back. I just walked in there for some stemware and I walk out with a cut. She doesn't even offer me tissues. What's that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Doesn't even say,
I'm sorry our glass was broken. And that you sliced your thumb.
I don't think you're crazy for thinking that. I think she should have. I would have been like, yeah, can you, I don't know, grab me a tissue. So
fix
then
me.
What kind of glasses were they? Because wine glasses, you got to let
the
people know.
They were the cheap ones. They were the cheapest ones at Crate and Barrel. Like, cheap. I don't know which ones they were. They have a bunch of different ones. But I have nice wine glasses. They're just in LA. So I've been like missing all my stuff. So I was like, just go get something that's like affordable, yeah, you know, that you could have. And I was like,
obviously
whatever.
Not durable because it fell. So then you just, they were already packaged up and you said, no, thanks. I'm going to get an all different pair. Like a
no, it was only two glasses, and okay, she hadn't. And so I said, "I'm going to get two different wine glasses." I also bought other rocks glasses. I bought a shaker. You know,
oh my god, wow! You like really had a day in Crate and Barrel.
Yeah, I really, you know, more than I expected. You know, when you walk in, you're like, "I need like one wine glass, like no big deal," and then like $85 later, you're like, "What did I get? These were $2 each. What am I holding?"
Well, then so you got a shaker. Like, did you need a shaker?
Yeah, I didn't have a shaker.
Now you have two sets of shaker. You have a shaker. You have multiple glasses. You have bourbon cups. Like, what else do you need? I mean, you're ready for a party. Oh, I also, is it kind of weird if you just order one wine glass? Because then she's like, oh my God, are you so lonely? You're like, okay, fine, I'll take two. Like, who walks in to just get one wine glass? Unless you're replacing it.
Now I can have you over. We could do a little charcuterie and, you know, wine moment because I have two wine glasses.
I cannot wait. I'll drink wine out of anything, you know. I mean, I'm kind of a snob in that it tastes better because it can naturally aerate. Absolutely. With the round glasses. But
she's a big wig. She's a big wig.
You know what I mean? I'll drink it from the champagne flute.
Tell me, what is your thing when you're home?
Oh, right.
What reminds you of home? What brings
Every
you home?
Single morning, my mom puts on the percolator coffee maker. And it makes this bubbling noise. You guys know there's a song. I don't know if it's about the percolator. I assume it's about the percolator because what else would it be about?
I know what you mean.
So she lives and breathes by this percolator. I think she has honestly three different ones, and she gets mad because she knows which percolator is the best. And so one's at the beach house, and then we got two here, and they're like passed down. And I didn't really think anybody could relate to it as much as people do. But I posted it, and I was like, my parents are so old school that we only drink from the percolator coffee, and it's offensive if you don't drink from her percolated coffee. She's like,
really?
What do you mean you don't like my coffee? And it's like, well, no, I drink iced coffee. She's like, well, then put the percolator coffee in ice. Like, what do you mean you don't drink percolator iced coffee? So that really brings me home. It's like,
how
the
does
whole
it work?
Kitchen smells like coffee. It's a whole contraption. There's 15 parts, and you know my mom's legally blind, so the reason why she chooses to use a coffee maker with 15 parts is beyond me. But this woman's over there cleaning, you know, using a squeegee. Why does it have so many parts? So you put the coffee into this round canister, and inside it's being like flushed up and down into the water so that the water absorbs the coffee, and then once it starts percolating or bubbling, that's when you know that the coffee is ready. So it's just a funny, like, blah, 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 that type of noise. And the bubbles are starting. And she's like, the coffee's ready. And we're all like, okay. By the way, it is.
She does this even when you're not there, right? Like, that's her coffee in the morning.
It kind of means that people are over because it makes a large cup of coffee.
Okay.
And she's kind of moved on to drinking tea in the morning because coffee just is too stress. It's just her anxiety. It's too much energy. She doesn't need all that, you know?
So this is for you. She's percolating for you.
She's percolating for me. And it's when there's just one extra person. So for my dad, he'll just make his own cup of coffee. But as soon as I come home, add my brother, my sister-in-law, I mean, the percolator's coming out. The percolator is coming out. And I posted it. And that now I know all of you guys use, you're like, oh my God, my mom has that percolator. Oh my God, my grandmother passed it down. So everybody's up in here with their percolators.
That's so funny. I want to look up percolator now. You know, I don't drink coffee famously. So I've been going to the Starbucks on my parents' block every day.
And to get tea.
I get matcha, or I get like, I got a hot chocolate yesterday, you know, really treating myself. You know what I mean? Really trying to take care of myself with the sugar.
you do. Well, no, I went, I don't know if you guys know Tate, but it's, there's a couple locations in DC, and I don't know if they, I think they're just in DC, maybe Boston. That might be the other location, but they have a pistachio latte. That shit. High in
Stunning.
Sugar, but delicious. Yeah, that's a big wig bite.
Ooh,
the pistachio
stunning.
Latte.
Starbucks stunning. Did a pistachio latte for a hot moment. That was like a limited edition, I think.
You know what else they did that was absolutely disgusting? Was an olive oil drink. It was like the iced, the cold brew with a mix of olive oil.
Weird.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
a no
what
for
they
me.
Did back in the day when I was in college, and I know this because I drank coffee in college, and I was obsessed, and I was so hurt when they ended this limited
back in our coffee drinking days.
It was like the maple latte. Oh,
whoa.
It was like fucking pancakes in a cup. It was so good. And I remember one day I walked in, I was like, I'll take a maple latte. And they were like, we're done with that. And I was like, what?
Rude.
I have to go back to regular?
What? I can't. How do you go back to just not
maple?
I like,
still think about it. It smelled like heaven. I wouldn't even like pay attention in class. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm over here having a brunch.
I'm sniffing down my maple syrup latte.
Oh,
delicious.
It was so good.
Yeah, no, that sounds so good. Amazing.
Can I ask you, when you're home, like this week, you know, like pre-Thanksgiving, is your mom like, are your parents like cooking for you, cleaning for you? Are you like the star child again? Or are they kind of like, she's an adult now, like
kinda.
She can take care of herself.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. I definitely feel like we did takeout last night because I feel like the cooking will commence probably Wednesday. They're going to start brining the turkey. But yeah, they'll definitely, yeah. Like, I think she's upstairs preparing lunch as we speak because she's like, what do you want for lunch? Or, yeah. But then as soon as my brother comes, my sister-in-law and their grandchild, it's, yeah, no, they're preparing vegetables for my nephew. That's the new child. So the next generation is upon us and
I'm
out.
Kicked to the curb. Yeah.
I'm kicked to the damn curb. Yeah. What about you?
My mom likes, she like, you know, she keeps a freezer full of stuff. I noticed that. She was like, we're going to do scallops tonight and should we do short ribs on tomorrow? And I was like, I don't want to cook this much because here's the thing. She knows I'm an amazing cook. She's a good cook, but she wants me to cook when I come
home.
So
she loves your cooking. Okay. Well, that's
the roles she knows, passed on. She knows I'm good. She'll cook. Like, cause I said, mom, I really don't feel like cooking. So I made the scallops last night, but other than that, and I fucked them up bad. Oh. But I know I used the wrong pan and they stuck, and I was like, oh no,
when they stuck,
she was like,
ruined.
These were really expensive scallops, and I was like, well, I fucked them all up, so I hope you like how they taste because they don't look pretty.
sorry, geez.
I know. It's just not my week, but I laugh because she was like going through her freezer and she's like, should we do like short ribs tomorrow or something? And there is a short rib recipe that I want to do. And I was like,
ooh, that sounds so good.
I looked at her and I go, mom, I kind of just want to take out from the Cheesecake Factory. Okay. That's like kind of the meal I need right now. And she was like, okay. So we're going through a tough time with the dog. So she's sort of like, whatever you want, which is honestly nice. You know, sometimes you need that. You need someone to be like, whatever you feel like.
Sure. Honestly, you can have that. Yeah. A Cheesecake Factory, what a comfort meal.
I know, right? I miss my LA Cheesecake Factories. I haven't been in a minute. No. You know, I would go like weekly to that shit.
The Cheesecake Factory. I know. So freaking delish.
Yeah.
Okay. It's one of those things. So yeah, let's wrap a tatato. We'll go get a little snack from Cheesecake Factory and we'll be right back.
And we're back. Stuffed full of avocado egg rolls. I wish. That'll be me later, honestly, though. Like, I'll take a photo
I
and
wish.
Send it. Ugh, the best. We have to talk about something. Dre brought this to my attention that Kim Kardashian, who famously recently starred in the American Horror Story series, she's moving on, right? She's moving on to new roles, apparently. Like
new roles and new genres, okay? Stay with the horror, okay? But now she's getting into comedy. And I mean, we both have thoughts about this. This is crazy to me. No.
Wait, no. So what is she doing? She's doing a movie.
She's doing a movie. She's moving into the comedy genre. And she's attached to not only star, but also produce in a new comic pitch that will be scripted by, and you told me, Paul LaPelle and Janine Brito are actually married. They're a couple.
I believe they're married. They're together. Yeah. Very funny. Both very funny. Paul LaPelle was a writer for SNL for years. Janine is an amazing stand-up.
I mean, so to be amongst the greats, it's kind of crazy that she's going to be in the same room as these people. It's like, what? Save these roles for the rest of us. So the movie is called The Fifth Wheel, apparently, and Pell will produce with Kardashian, and deadline here is that multiple bids are already on the table as five studios battle for the package. Do you know how hard it is to sell a script, to sell a series, and then to get picked up? Like, it's almost impossible. But to be having a battle between five studios, shut the fuck up.
Because they attached Kim. Kim fucking
people will fight, like, because whether you're a huge fan of Kim, right? She has a humongo following.
I get it.
Or if you're a hater of the Kardashians, you're still going to want to see if she can act in a movie. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It's a win-win. It doesn't, and she knows that. So, I mean, as a, like, if I was just writing, you know what I mean? Or I wanted to produce a movie, if I could attach any Kardashian to it, like, I would. Like, Paula Pell and Janine are probably like, fuck yes, we got Kim fucking Kardashian. This movie's going to get seen in a theater. Huge, yeah. You know?
But I think I would choose Khloe. She just, to me, has the most on-screen talent. Like, we could see Kardashian. Kim, when she was in American Horror Story. Now, I didn't watch the full episode.
I haven't seen it, yeah.
So maybe there is some she gave some into the role. But the little clips that I saw, I was getting absolute deadpan, no emotion. Like, yeah, that's crazy. Oh, my God. What?
Girl. I have to watch it. I haven't seen anything. I think I saw a photo.
She was like packing up her bags after just what looked like a one night stand. The guy was like, so are you going to call me? And she was like, yeah, I'll decide on that later. She packs up her bags, then she leaves. And I'm like, okay, girl, if I was an acting teacher, and I'm not, I would have told you give more. But
right.
That's my only.
I will say my only I liked her SNL episode. You know, I watched some of that back when she did SNL.
I was impressed.
Yeah. And even though Khloe is the funniest. So if we're talking comedy, like, yes, Khloe. But after seeing this new series, like, in the last few seasons, she's really been like, I don't like red carpets. I don't like the attention. I don't like. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, she doesn't want to go on camera to, like, perform, it sounds like. Like, she models and everything and she'll do photos. But it sounds like she really doesn't like that limelight.
Which is surprising to me because she just thrives in it. When she does in reality TV, which is what I think Kim thrives in. It's just like the reality people like to watch her, like, shit talk Courtney. That's great. They're a dynamic. Perfect for reality TV.
Yeah.
But don't put her on a screen and then expect her to just, like, be full of, like, you know, comic sav, comedy timing. I mean, it's just, I don't know. And I posted it and people were all, like, a bunch of comedy people that we know were like, no, like, I'm literally done. Like, I will not accept it, which I get. So
because it's like that, you know, so many people work so hard and pay their dues and then, you know, we're living through a time where it doesn't matter if you're a funny comedian, you work really hard. Like, if you have more followers on TikTok than me, you're going to get that role in that movie over me.
Right, because that means more people are watching you. And when it's the time of all these multiple different streaming platforms, it's whatever eyes are on the production is what wins, which is crazy. But
it is crazy. The talent is like second now.
Third. Okay, we better get these clips out. Anna, we better
up our numbers. That's why we're TikTok. That's why we're hardcore. Have you guys subscribed to us yet on TikTok? Okay. That's why we're hardcore.
We hit 1,000 subscribers. That's huge. That's really big. Yeah.
I know a lot of comics. It's an interesting conversation. I know a lot of comics who, like, really resist it and are like, I don't, or actors who are like, I just don't want to, like, have to do that, because it is a full-time job to put up content, to edit, to shoot, to do a podcast, to post. It's nonstop. But I think people like us, if you can do it and you have talent, like, there will be a moment where we're like, wow, all of that fucking paid off, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I busted my ass to, like, cut these clips and put this on and wear a wig and go to Skims and blah, 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 you know? And then you're like, oh my God, it better pay off, because if it doesn't, like, wow, what a fool I've made of myself.
Well, the thing my parents always say, or even I complain to my agent, is I know, like, I want to be obviously acting. We would love to be in a comedy series. Honestly, at this point, we would literally take anything, because that means you're working in the industry, which is hard enough as it is. But my mom always says, shouldn't you like do other characters, original characters, and not impersonate people that already exist? Because how are you going to get jobs from that? And while I totally understand what she's saying, to me, I am acting when I'm impersonating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fully impersonating and embodying the person that I'm doing. And I've gotten jobs from Teresa, but we've never gotten jobs through the Kardashians. Which
no.
I think we
But I
should.
Also don't think those are, like, I don't think one will fuel the next thing. It shows that you have timing and that you're funny and that you can do voices. Like, these are all, you know, like, I've gotten a lot of, like, animation auditions and stuff because, like, I do voices and my agents know that. Like, I think there's a... No, I'm not going to get a job as Kris Jenner necessarily. I mean, yes, we've done, like, branded stuff, you know, like Instagram videos and stuff, but that's because that's where they, like, exist. But I think that people who are funny, who aren't necessarily good at impressions are always like the opposite. They're always like, ugh, I wish I could do an impression, or they'll try an impression. You know what I mean? And they'll be like, yeah, wow, you're so good at that. Where it's like, yeah, you do original stuff too. We're funny too. We have a podcast, you know, like you're yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, every day we're ourselves on Instagram, on our stories and everything. It's not like I ever try. We fire those off, you know, like thoughts on an article, thoughts on Kim Kardashian, you know, like, so I think you're constantly creating. And I think the impressions are like a bonus. You know what I mean? I never, ever think like, oh, if I put on a wig and I do a character, like this will get me a job. I never think that way.
I struggle with thinking that, well, to me, impressions has always been this really cool thing I could do because not everyone can master an impression. It's a really interesting thing. But now they're coming out with a lot of these biopics, like, you know, the, what is his name? Oh my God.
Everyone wants a biopic.
Everyone wants it, right? So Elvis, and there's two people doing Elvis. Timothy Chalamet. Priscilla. Willy Wonka. Priscilla, exactly. Which, by the way, Jacob Elordi could literally have all my children. He is just next level.
6'7" or something. 6 foot.
He's just a massive man. Yeah, no, he is crazy tall.
So tall. I didn't know that.
6'5", which is just insane. So I think that could be a really big lane for us, is all of these biopics that are happening, but we shall see.
Who would you, if you could do a biopic of anybody, who would you want to do?
Oh my God. I used to think it was going to be one of the greats. But then I looked at what I look like and I'm thinking, okay, well, it can't be necessarily because I mean, look a certain way. I mean, they could use as prosthetics, right?
Yeah. I was going to say you can look, however, like you wear wigs and you're very malleable. Like you're a chameleon in that way where, like, you know, you can make yourself look like Kristen, even though you look nothing like Kristen. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Yeah, that is true. And we would have to choose somebody that's older that has lived their life. Cause I feel like somebody who's 30 or necessarily we're looking at them, they have so much life to live. So I would want somebody that would be even greater. Definitely somebody that is in the comedy world. I mean, Joan Rivers, I'm obsessed with. Betty White, possibly Fran Drescher. I love her story. And you were the one that told me that her ex-husband actually co-wrote with her The Nanny, which to me is absolutely amazing. So I think that'd be really fun. I love Fran. There was somebody that I was posting about and now I can't remember it. And I'm going to kick myself that I can't. So tell me yours and I'll try to remember if there was one more. You said Joan, right?
I would love to do Joan. I would do Fran. I would do Joan or Fran. Or Barbara, my three Jews.
Old Barbara.
Because I sort of Barbara feel like cool. In a biopic, I think you have to kind of cast someone who is of your background. I just think it would resonate. But like, you know, there was a lot of lashback when they said there was going to be a Joan biopic. And oh my God, what is her name? Why am I blank right now? You know who was going to play it. And she was announced. And this wasn't legit. It just was like a Deadline article.
Of who they thought was going to portray her.
They said she was attached to it. What is her freaking name?
She's Kathy very Griffin?
Funny. No. Funny comedic actress. She was in WandaVision.
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn, who's one of the funniest people. Her performance in Step Brothers is one of the funniest fucking performances ever.
Come on
over here, pony boy.
I just want to crawl up inside and I just want to have you live inside of my vagina. It was fantastic, yeah. Catherine
She's
Hahn.
So funny. And I bet she'd do a great Joan. But the lashback of her not being Jewish, not really, you know, like resonating with, I was like, wow, yeah. So I think it is different for biopics. But then you look at, I don't know, like, look at like Renee Zellweger fucking crushed as Judy Garland. That's someone I would never cast as Judy Garland. And she
Me
was
neither.
Amazing. Like, so I don't know. It's a weird lane. Wait, we were talking about this before and you were like, let's bring this up. Like, whatever impression you do, people still want you to do someone else, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, we were talking about your friend who always does Ina Garten, and people for so long, it was always Kourtney Kardashian for me because that's what I went viral on TikTok for. So for at least a year and a half, people would just comment on our videos, Kourtney Kardashian, like, love this one, but like, go back to Kourtney. So I think Kourtney's always been that for me, but
mine's always been Hilaria. Like,
yeah,
no matter what I do, there are the people who are like, I only follow you for Hilaria. Give me more Hilaria. And I'm like, I worked really hard to do this one. For her, I just literally flip my hair and I'm like, hola. And they're like, oh, it's her.
Hola, España. You really do. There was an outfit. I think it was a green bomber jacket. I don't know. There was some look that from behind, you filmed yourself from behind. It looked just like her. Like height, body movement. It was crazy.
Well, we are like the same like build, stature, and coloring, build, yeah. And you know, yeah, it works. It works. I don't know that I'd want to play her in the biopic though. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm okay on that one.
Are you going to pass on that one? Yeah, I know.
I think so, yeah,
it's.
I like saying no to jobs. That means like, you know, I know you were like, I don't think you should say yes to everything. I think you should think about it because I feel like there are a lot of jobs I say no to because I'm like, this is something I don't need to do or I don't want to do. I mean, granted, I'm broke right now, so I need gigs, but
yeah.
I think we have to be selective in our industry a little bit. A little bit.
I think so too. I mean, that just means you've made it because you're also busy and you're making the choices. But that's what I feel like my agent and my managers haven't necessarily, we haven't reached that level yet where they're kind of guiding me because right now they're telling me you got to be a yes woman. If somebody asks you to host their show, if you're doing stand up, if you want to do this, you want to do this project, you got to say yes. And I'm like, let's get to the point where I start saying no.
Yeah, no, you're going to love when you get to say no. I don't do nearly as many like shows or anything as I used to do because yeah. I physically am like, if you say yes to everything, you're not going to give the performance you want to give. You're not going to feel good about it. And you're going to be like, why did I do that? That was a waste of my time. I think time is precious. And you start to realize as you get older, like, what will be something that's fulfilling for me and what is just like saying yes because I said yes to this, like, I don't know.
I'm ready.
I used to feel like, okay, I want to do, I'll do a stand-up show at 11 p.m. I'll do this. I'm like, no, I don't need to do that.
Actually, no. I just thought of the person that I wouldn't be able to do because I'm absolutely, I look different, but I would love to do Lucille Ball.
Because
she's a classic. I was in the airport, Hudson News. I picked up one of her little, the Time Magazine, kind of like autobiography, like quick little articles about her. Loved every second of it. So yeah, for sure her.
Queen. I wanted What's-Her-Face to play her, but Nicole Kidman played her. And I thought that was a really weird choice. I didn't like, that didn't resonate with me. I really wanted, I'm like, Grace, Deborah Messing to play her because Deborah Messing like embodies her for
the
me.
And hair, yes.
When did that Lucille Ball episode, did you see that episode they did on the new Will and
Grace?
She
wrote the foreword. She wrote the foreword for the timepiece about Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right on it, Anna. You were on it.
She was so good as Lucille Ball in that episode. I don't know if you watched it. They filmed like a full episode as them. And it was like on Will and Grace. It was really fun. It was in the new season or whatever, like the latest season.
That's so cool. That's amazing.
You would like it. Yeah.
I need to watch that. She's a legend. She is the moment.
Speaking of impersonators, we are impressionists. We both saw MJ last week.
Now, this is a job that I don't even think he came up, Elijah, the man that portrays MJ, I don't think he came up really necessarily as an impersonator. But let me tell you, this goddamn impression of this man was so spot on.
So
I
good.
Was blown away. What did you think?
I was blown away. I will say, I saw the original cast, okay? Mm-hmm. So I saw Miles Frost in it. And I was so blown away by him that this one felt not as impressive. He's amazing. He's amazing and he nails it. And I think they both have like strengths, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to shit talk him because he's fucking killing it right now on Broadway. But I mean, anyone would agree, you know, like, it's like, you never forget your first. Like, I, you know, the first time I saw it, I was so like, holy shit. Like, they must have grown this guy in a lab, the Jackson family, because there's no way someone's that good at the singing, the dancing, the voice, like every aspect of Michael that I was like, so fucking blown away. I thought this one was amazing. I thought Miles Frost did the dancing better. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I thought. You know, I'm being critical now because I've seen it twice and it's fun. That was a fun thing to see again with someone else. You know what I mean? I'll tell you this so you can do a real comparison because, you know, I'm a psycho. Miles Frost is opening the London MJ in the spring. So if you get yourself over to London, you could see him. He's opening that cast, which is kind of cool. I love when like the original like opens in another city, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, that's
I'd cool. be willing to do that because. For me, this was my first one. Look him up, Elijah Johnson, you guys. He's just,
he
just,
was
stunning in the role. He was amazing.
He really was. He was so good. But the way he would move it, like, you know how Michael would like move his little hands, like swish his yes. fingers back and forth? That's what Elijah was doing. And I just thought that simple little small intricacy, he yeah. killed it. He killed
picking
it.
Picking up on those things.
Yeah, on the small things. And to me, the dancing, I thought was absolutely incredible. Like, and it's a 2-hour show, it felt like. Like, the way he's not tired after doing, I mean, I'm sure he's tired, but the stamina to have, it's got to be next level.
I mean, they won best choreography. I was going to say the whole company of that show, they dance nonstop and it's so good. It's the best. It's some of the best choreography I've seen on Broadway. That and the Britney musical that closed. Those were two of the shows that I walked away from and I was like, yeah, people can really dance. Like, wow.
People can dance. Was there, after watching the show, did you at any moment want to go take a dance class? Because you know my ass did. I was ready to sign up for intermediate hip hop / tap / jazz. Go off. Because I walked out of there and I was like, I must dance.
You're going to sign up. Dance. And you know when they ask you like, how did you find out about this, you know, dance class? And she's going to write other. And she's going to write, I recently saw MJ the musical on Broadway and I was just fully inspired.
I mean, not Google. Really. Not Google, because I love to dance, but never have I ever. I mean, I was in cheer for 2 seconds of my life, but I just like really think it's a super fun talent to have. And I mean, obviously you have to start from a young age or like really be intense at it to be good. But I think I
was
enjoy
good
it.
When I was younger. I danced as a kid. Like I did you ballet. Danced? I did jazz. I did tap. I can still tap. I can
oh my God,
tap.
Anna, bring out those tap shoes the next time we have a live show, okay? We should do like a talent show type show and we just like go out on all of our talents.
Big wig talent night.
Big wig
and
talent
you all
night.
Show up with your fucking talents too. That would be heaven. That would really
be heaven.
Funny.
I mean, I'm like really good at juggling. So like I'll bring out my little bowling pins and then you bring your tap shoes and we
can
will have
really
ourselves
juggle?
A little talent night. No, for like 2 seconds, but like I can make it look real.
You know, I whipped out my tap shoes and my saxophone like during the pandemic,
Stop
like
it.
during the lockdown days where I was like,
of course,
remember my talents, Jared. He's like, I'm working. I'm on a Zoom. And I'm like, I was just going to play a little ditty on my saxophone now.
A little you know? Ditty.
That was pretty much the whole pandemic.
So saxophone, that was your instrument?
I played the saxophone. Yeah. I still have it. It's in LA, in my apartment in LA, but it's I have to take it wherever I move. That my dad said I had to always bring my saxophone with me. I was
you
like,
must
good.
Always bring it.
So he was always like, you never know when you're going to join a band. I'm like, yeah, I'm not, but you know.
It's always impressive when a tiny person is able to have the breath stamina because you're tiny. Like to hold that saxophone, I mean, you got to have those deep lungs.
Well, when I was a kid, they were like, you like try out the instruments. They're like, you can play the clarinet or the oboe. And I was like, those are fucking lame. I'm playing the cool instrument.
Okay. Your stature is giving flute. Okay. And you're like, no, bitch, I want to play the saxophone. They're like, I don't know.
They were like, we don't think your hands can handle it. And I was like, watch me, honey. And then I was like, first seat. And I was really good. I was the only girl in jazz band for 100 years. And I was like, showed you, bitch.
What an ass kind of move to be the musical director and to tell a kid to like crush their dreams. Like, no, I'm sorry, you're not going to be on sax. You're like, yes, I am. Your
What's
fingers can't handle it, please.
I didn't go in knowing that was the instrument I wanted to play necessarily, but I just like felt like cooler people played saxophone and like, don't put me in the fucking orchestra. That seemed lame. I want to be in band and jazz band. I was like, I know where I fall, you know? And they were like, do you?
I know where I stand. Don't give me a flute and no hate on flutes. It's just, you know what you wanted to play.
Yeah. You know, Lizzo made the flute cool. Eventually, I realized, oh, other instruments are cool. But when you're in third grade and they're like telling you, you know, it's like telling you no, you're like, I think that means it's a yes then.
I think that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So go to see MJ in London, you know what else they have? The Mamma Mia brunch. And it's a whole shebang.
No, it's called Mamma Mia Experience. It's a dinner theater.
It's a dinner theater. Screw my brunch idea. Let's do that's what I'm talking about. And I want to go with you.
Yeah. I also have tickets. You know, I was supposed to go to London like in August and I have tickets still to Guys and Dolls and I have tickets to the ABBA Experience, which is the hologram concert, which I really want to go to.
Oh, my God. That's really going to be. Have they ever done a hologram show?
It's been going for a while. It's like it's like the ABBA experience. It's like a whole thing. It's apparently great, and I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. This is,
but that's separate from the Mamma Mia experience that you're talking about. Yeah. Where you like show up and it's like you're in Greece and they have dinner and they do a show. Oh my God. I need to go to all of this. I need to spend like a month in London. Did you go abroad in London? I forget. Did you?
Yes. I visited London. Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Where did you study abroad?
I was in Madrid. But then my friend was studying in London. So then I definitely had to make the trip over there. It was, the weather's rainy, but we had a great time. I mean, you go to the pubs. How can you not love
London? I lived there for a summer. It was so fun. I went to an acting school and I like saw every show. It was like a whole summer of theater. It was like fucking great for me.
You're like, I am living my truth.
And I bought 7 pairs of like sneakers and came home. My mom's like, that's all you bought? Like, a bunch of Adidas and Nike. And I'm like, yeah, you can't get these in the States. You can't get these.
Well, that, but also I feel like their style is always like a very dainty skirt and then sneakers, like the low top sneakers. Adidas, yes. Sambas. By the way, now everybody has a Samba and it's like, oh my God.
I know.
I have way to make it not cool anymore. But it's frustrating me.
I hear you. I know. I was really into it like last month and I just started wearing my whites because I've worn the shit out of my blacks. And I was like, ugh, everyone's wearing them now.
There's a collab though. And there is a leopard fur one, which I'm going to have to get my hands on.
Who collabed for that?
I don't want to say Whalebone because that's a magazine, but it sounds like that. So it's a designer. It's a designer. I've saved it in my saves. And I know they're like $150 to $200. I'm not really sure what they are. Okay, here we go. Upcoming Wales
Gucci
Bonner.
Gazelles.
Wales Bonner.
Wales Bonner is also like, that's an Adidas. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, of course, you can't see it. But they've got a beautiful maroon and they've got a beautiful cheetah. So I think I'm going to have to go with those.
Love it.
Wales Bonner.
And I need the Gucci Gazelles. That's what I've been waiting for.
Listen, the Gucci Adidas collab really, really hit home for me.
Me too. Not for my bank account, you know, at the time, but
no, never that.
Personally.
Absolutely never that. Speaking of bank accounts, I need to go check mine. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have a really special little Thanksgiving segmento. So gird your loins.
Hi, doll. How are you?
Hi, Mom. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving week. It's a really special time for us, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I feel like every year is kind of just like the next biggest Thanksgiving ever because you like do way too much.
Yeah, I do.
I will say we're going to miss you this year. I'm sorry you and Travis and the kids can't make it.
I know. We're really, really going to miss you. But just with like the new baby, like I don't want Rocky to be exposed. Like it's just not safe.
That kid's going to be not exposed for years.
You know, I brought you out. I brought you to the horse races when you were days old. You know, we went, we bet on all these horses, your father and I, and we thought, well, we'll bring our firstborn with us. And I think that's why you have such a strong personality.
Yeah. Or maybe just like unresolved trauma from the past.
Maybe. You know, I was thinking maybe we could go through some of the Thanksgiving traditions. Like, you know, I love all the sides at the meal, right? Don't you love the food?
I mean, we're doing like a fully vegan Thanksgiving meal. So, yeah, I love everything that we do.
Oh, well, we're doing a regular meal, but I just feel like I was thinking everybody in the family really represents a different side. You know, everybody really brings a different flavor to the Thanksgiving dinner. And I just, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Or
yeah, I mean, like, kind of like I don't like to think of myself like food, but
I'll tell you, like Kylie, right? Kylie. Mm-hmm. Our sweetie, Kylie is so, she's like the gravy because she's rich in flavor
and money.
And she truly elevates just everything, right? When she's around, she's totally the gravy.
The gravy train. Yeah. I mean, like, kind of. It's gravy is just kind of like gross looking, but you're right. She's like, for she sure brings, flavorful.
She brings the style. She brings the flavor, you know? Pour a little Kylie all over everyone. You'll make more money.
You're insane. Okay, so I feel like Travis then is like the turkey because he's like the star of the family for me. And like,
oh,
he only flies sometimes.
Okay, doll. I kind of feel like I'm the turkey, you know? I'm kind of the center. I gave birth to most of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you love to think that, but you're kind of like the champagne toast, right? Like you like start the party.
Oh, don't I? Okay, I'm okay with that. Look at this. What do I have here? Oh my God. I just whipped this out of nowhere. This was in my purse.
Okay, you've got the sparkles, you've got the bubbles.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, doll. I can give the turkey to Travis if I'm the champagne.
Yeah, gobble gobble. Okay, well, Kimberly.
Cheers doll.
Cheers, mom. Momager, you're like so unhinged. Okay, let's see. Kimberly is like literally the stuffing because she stuffed her lard ass into that Marilyn Monroe dress.
No. She properly got fit to wear that dress to the Met Gala. Okay, watch what you're saying about your sister.
You know it's true.
I was going to say, I think Corey is the stuffing, okay? The stuffing of my eye because you should have seen how he stuffed my bird last night, doll.
You are literally so crazy and inappropriate. You should be ashamed of like your life.
Absolutely not. It's a holiday week. Okay. I started celebrating at 10 a.m.
I can see that. You're like so insane. Okay. Well, like, what about Kendall?
Oh, well, Kendall, I mean, she's probably like, you know, some sort of lean cuisine, some mm-hmm. lean bean cuisine. What is she? Maybe Instapot collard greens. I've never had those, but I think Kendall really represents, you know, just a strong, healthy, green person.
Something green. Well, yeah, I was going to say Chloe's the green beans because she's just like so string beany and tall.
Okay, Kendall is the Instapot collard greens, you know? Yeah. She's ready in 5 minutes always. She's just so naturally beautiful. She really doesn't have to do what we have to do to go outside.
Okay, first of all, I am like so natural. I am like that fresh white meat, you know?
Absolutely. But you do love a little glam. Kendall really doesn't take to glam. She's just so beautiful on her own.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, what about Chloe? I feel like, is Chloe really a green bean or like, is she something else?
I think Chloe could be a green bean, but she's also so warm and sweet. She could be a biscuit.
Ooh, a little biscuit, a little bread to the table basket. I
don't
kind
tell
of love.
Her I said she's my biscuit. She's not gonna like that.
Yeah, you know what trash can Tristan is?
He is
the like just like a little can of cranberry sauce because it honestly belongs in the trash.
On the shelf. I know you're putting him on the shelf. I got to be honest. I love the canned cranberry sauce. So I could do with a little Tristan in my life.
My God, you need to stop defending the cranberry sauce.
Oh, it's he, you know, he's given me such amazing grandchildren. He really has. So I can't fight him for that, you know, family over yeah. everything.
No, like I'm cutting you off. Okay. Well, I was going to say, what about me? Like Scott's irrelevant.
Well, I was thinking Scott is absolutely the sweet potato pie. I mean, he is just,
oh my God.
He is such a loyal, good person to have in your life. And he's so sweet. with the marshmallows on top. Scott is my sweet potato side dish.
I'm sure he's your side hoe too. You know what he is? He's like the corn casserole because he's just like such a corn ball. Never is true or authentic. And he's just like fake and sweet. Like, I just don't like it. Too much sugar.
He's Jewish. He has a hard time digesting corn recipes. So I don't know if that's such a good one for him.
You know way too much about him. Like, it's crazy. Okay, what am I, Mom?
Oh, my God. You know, I keep trying to think of what you are. I feel like actually you're the cranberries, you know, because
what?
You know, your cranberry sauce, homemade cranberry sauce, not the can, not the trash can. I think you're a homemade cranberry sauce because you're sweet at first, but then you're a little bit of a bitch. So you got that tart.
Okay. You know what? I think we're done with this game. I've played it long enough with you, but like, no, I'm going to go eat my vegan green beans, carrot casserole and like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, gotta go.
Well, listen, you know what? Whatever you're eating, you're doing amazing, sweetie. And I love you.
Yes. Go easy on the vodka, you psychopath. Bye.
I'm not. I'm switching to bubbly. Holidays.
We did it, right?
So unhinged. We did it. It's just so unhinged. Well, I
you want to see my tits over Zoom?
Show us your tits.
Want to see my tits over Zoom? I just had them lifted.
They look amazing. They really, really do. little touch up. Oh, my hair is coming through.
Please don't show me your vagina again. You did that after your last three births. I'm done.
Well. Yeah, I'm sure. I really do want to show you because I pulled it. This one, I pulled her right out. Actually, it was a little boy. You know what? Did she have a C-section? She might have had it. She might have had a C-section. I don't even know.
Well, that was fab-o, huh? That was great. I mean, now I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I'm excited
I'm
for the side.
I'm starving Marvin. We're taking those big
bites. Well, we wanted to end this show with a final big wig bite. You found a big wig bite. It's an actual big wig bite.
Actual big wig shocking bite.
Shocking. Yeah.
Shocking. Read me the headline that we found.
The headline, if I can find it. Hold on.
Stand by.
Okay. There was a woman charged for $7,000 for a Subway sandwich. And she spent a month trying to get her money back.
This is crazy to me.
I empathize with this woman. You know, when someone's been conned.
Yeah.
When someone fucking puts all that money on your card, it does take a minute for it to come back. A month, it seems a little long, but how funny. So she went to Starbucks. She went to Subway to get a sandwich that was $7.91 or something, right?
Yes. It's so funny because she was like, I know the exact price because I go all the time to this Subway and I get my Italian sub. So, yeah.
$7.99. Mm-hmm. She got charged $7,112.98.
That's messed up. It's crazy. So after the store's card machine apparently changed screens while she was completing her purchase, Vera Connor was at College Park Subway when she ordered a number 4 Supreme Meats. It's the Italian sub. A few days later, she discovered the over $7,000 charge instead of the regular amount. The price of the sandwich varies between different Subway locations, but it's consistently under $7,000. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
So
part of me hopes that it was a really good one. Like, they made it so good that like a little tiny little part of her was like, you know what? I would have paid $7,000 for it. You know, it was that good.
It's from Subway. It's never going to be that good.
It's never
going to be that good. The bread is cardboard. The meats ain't even real. We need to. Okay.
There is one Subway sandwich that I would get in college that I actually really liked. I haven't had it since then. So 43 years ago. The sweet onion chicken teriyaki sandwich. Do you remember this sandwich?
I do, but I don't think I ever got that because I was thrown off by the teriyaki of it and mixing it. So wait,
yeah,
the
all of it sounds thrown. It's throwing me off that I actually ate this thing, but
I'm
it was like
thrown
sweet,
off by it.
sweet and salty, and it was sick. It was
disgusting. It was sick.
It was insane. It was at the time. It was nourishing, I guess, for my
frail little college body.
Clearly, but it was. I think back and I'm like, wow. And I would throw on, like, you know, the veggies with it, and maybe a little mustard or mayo. Like, I would never put chicken teriyaki today with like a mustard. You know, that's a no-no. But it worked, you know. I guess there's not that much flavor in Subway, so like any flavor that they're punching into that, like a sweet onion chicken teriyaki, yeah. You're like, whoa, flavor?
Add it in there. So that's, yeah, sorry for that lady. I just don't understand why immediately she didn't see the charge. She was like, I noticed it like a couple days later. I'm like, girl, you were charged $7,000. What?
Also, she's with Bank of America. They should have put a fraud on alert on that, because... I'm sorry. If she goes every day to get the sandwich and one day she's getting 44,000 sandwiches.
Seems a little sus.
The best is she wrote that she could have gone to Italy to get a sandwich and come back. And it's like, good math, yeah. Girl. Good job. Yeah.
Yeah, you really could have. You could have flown first class to Italy and
to Florence, gotten a really good sandwich, come back and been like, wow, worth it, you know?
It's really unfortunate for her. So check your receipts, bitches. Check your receipts.
Check your receipts. And also make sure you secure the wallet always. You guys know. Secure it. Because someone's going to go and spend $7,000 at the Subway now on your card.
Anna, if you guys didn't listen to our last episode, she had a horrendous moment where she was pickpocketed, attenzione pickpocket on the train. Do you have an update for us? And then we will head on out to our Thanksgiving festivities.
Not a crazy update. The detectives call me every day. They keep switching my case around. It's really fucking annoying, actually. I do think the NYPD handled this poorly. And now they'll never find, you know, my wallet. And, it's really unfortunate, actually, because I could have solved this. And maybe I should have just taken it into my own hands. But I have most of my cards. One of them I accidentally sent to LA, so I don't have that. There's some stuff I have to figure out. But for the most part, I'm fine. I'm not hurt. Everything's fine. I like, you know, whatever. Yeah. It sucks. But thank you. Thank you for the...
And your money's back. You got your money back.
The space. Most of it, yeah. Good. I think like one or two. Like debits take longer than credit cards. So like, I don't know. Because it's like a report. Who the fuck knows? But don't let anyone take your wallet. Okay?
Because it's a shit show.
You know what? Guys... I turned to Jared and I said, if someone stole my phone, I would have been 10 times more rocked, I think.
Yeah, because that, at least with credit cards, you boom, 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 cancel them right on the spot. But for the phone, that's kind of...
More invasive.
You have to rush home to what? How do you even turn your phone off with like straight from your computer?
And like hope it's backed up and hope they didn't do any... Like, and you know, if you have Apple Pay, like there's a lot more that could happen with the phone. So you know what? I'm finding the silver lining. That's the moment. Find the silver lining and find the silver lining in your Thanksgiving, you know, experiences this week. I know it's not an easy week for everyone.
Some
people have stress. Some people, you know, or you have a lot of love and a lot of food, but who the fuck cares? Just make it your own. Take care of yourselves.
Make it your own. And this is not the end all be all. There's going to be another Thanksgiving. There's going to be another time to get together. I used to kind of always look to other people's Thanksgivings and I'd be like, wow, that looks way better than my Thanksgiving. Like, what are they doing? They have like 15 billion cousins. And they're all having fun. And, you know... Don't compare. Live in the moment. Try to enjoy yourself and treat yourself to some yummy food. That's my only advice, really.
Yeah. And enjoy. Listen to this episode. It'll keep you warm and fuzzy.
I hope so. We are so thankful for you guys. We love you guys. I'm going to get to my mashed potatoes and I'm going to have myself maybe some mulled wine, perhaps.
Ooh, Stonin. All the drinks.
All the drinks. Maybe Chris will have a little dirty martini.
I'm just having straight vodka. Yeah.
I don't need to dress it up. Holiday or not.
Holiday or not. Love you guys. Thank you. Have an amazing week. And we'll see you back next week. Right, Anna?
Yeah. Bye.